Oh, there's never anything on this time of night.
Be talking.
Again, et... Parce qu'il fallait une...
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Poppins.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
Is listening.
Never have I been more excited for a show than I am tonight. Brand new WWE Tag Team Champions crowned this past Monday night on Raw. And Mickie James, yes, you heard right, Mickie James joins us in the second hour right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind next.
The power's back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Oh my God, I can't believe it!
I am here to give my opinion on the product, whether you agree or disagree.
That's called the power, brother.
Yes, it is I, your guiding light, the truth, through the darkness and murkiness of bad storylines and poor creative decisions, the power, Andy Knowles, back here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans, and conspiracy theorists all over the seven continents. Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, back with you one more time in a show for the ages. When this show is done and gone, ladies and gentlemen, when I have died... And the worms have run me through. They will look back at this program, this episode of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, and this was the episode they will remember. If you haven't got to your friends, you need to get to them now in the second hour. Yes, Mickie James has agreed to join us here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. She is in studio right now as we speak, working on her second album. She has been gracious enough to give us a half hour of her time, and we're going to bring her on board here at the bottom, not in the second hour, excuse me, at the bottom of the hour. I misspoke. And really looking forward to that. After that, we'll take your calls as well. Much to do before we get to that, boys and girls. So without a further ado, we will get to the news of the week brought to you by Headlocks to Headlines, the official news source for the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Of course, new tag team champions crowned this past Monday on Raw. Kofi Kingston, Evan Bourne defeating Daniel Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. really, that team did not do much with the tag team championships. But now, if you noticed, this past Monday, the push to the tag team division has started. This is the team, Kofi Kingston, Evan Bourne, that are going to revive the tag team division. I, for one, could not be happier. And it was great to see new tag team champions crown. Really, it was a great match, for one. And my kids were marking out like kids and enjoyed the 450 splash from Evan Bourne to win the championship. And great for Evan Bourne, too. I mean, Kofi Kingston, he's won singles championships before. This is great for Evan Bourne to finally get some gold around his waist. So it was great to see that. Recent attendances for the WWE house shows in Canada and Washington State was interesting to note. That on August 19th in Regina, the Raw House show drew 3,500 fans for a gate of 130,000. The August 20th show in Saskatoon drew 4,400 fans for a gate of 172,000. And this was interesting, the SmackDown show. Now, I'm wondering if that was Canadian or American. I'd be curious to know. The SmackDown show on August 20th in Tacoma, Washington drew 4,000 fans, $120,000 gate. Next Monday's SmackDown event has been canceled. The Civic Arena in St. Joseph, Missouri, issuing a statement that the SmackDown event scheduled for Monday, August 29th, had been canceled. They are looking to reschedule next July in 2012. You got to wait a year now. You're gonna be waiting a while. All purchased tickets available for refund at point of purchase. Why not just save the tickets for next year? Why do we even need to go there? Just say, look, if you got a seat, when they come back around in 2012, we'll give you a seat. Because you know those tickets are going to be difficult to get coming back around 2012. But I digress. Todd Grisham, it has been confirmed, leaving WWE. I found this interesting, posted on headlocks2headlines.com, the official news source for the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Todd Grisham wrote on Twitter, thanks for all the amazing tweets. Had a great 8 years. Was it 8 years? Wow. In the WWE, now headed to ESPN and the loving arms of the great folks at ESPN, including the coach. What is it with these WWE guys and they go to ESPN? And really, Jonathan Coachman, if you haven't noticed, ladies and gentlemen, and shame on you if you haven't noticed, Jonathan Coachman does a great job on ESPN. I would sit and watch Jonathan Coachman on ESPN more than I would sit and watch him behind a Raw broadcasting table. He is really that good. The WWE had issued an update on Kevin Nash. This is how slow a news day it was. On Kevin Nash dyeing his hair black before his return to the WWE. Yes, his hair is not gray. It's not gray. It's black, ladies and gentlemen. The gray was just a ruse, ladies and gentlemen, to make you think that he was getting old. He washed the gray out. Kevin Nash has naturally jet black hair. I just finished shooting Rock of Ages over the past 7 weeks. They determine my hair color and go T-length. And he goes on to say, only God gives gray. So, yes, he is, in fact, the gray was all a ruse this whole time, ladies and gentlemen. He wanted you to think he had gray hair when, in fact, his hair was black all of the time. More WWE news, according to the PW Insider. More discussion within the WWE lately about the company looking to see what cruiserweight or light heavyweight talents are out there and signing them to developmental deals. It hasn't been confirmed yet that the WWE will be doing a full-fledged revival of the cruiserweight division, but they are interested in bringing talents who fit that bill. The idea is that cruiserweights will give guys like Evan Bourne or Sin Cara someone to work with and would add a quality to the WWE's undercard. We've done this before, ladies and gentlemen. We've done this before, and it's flopped. Remember the light heavyweight division. Remember Goldberg. The cruiserweight division was okay for a while until it became apparent that WWE didn't give a rat's rear anymore. Just because Triple H goes and says that we're going to have a great tag team division, In all honesty, I just can't see how it's possible they could revive. Where's the belt going to go? Is it going to be defended on both brands? I'm not buying this one, ladies and gentlemen, and nor should you. I just have a feeling this one's going to go flat. The wheels are going to come off this axle real fast. The WWE has announced a new member to the board of directors. So this was interesting, ladies and gentlemen. In a press release through the Business Wire, the WWE announced that Stuart U. Goldfarb had been elected to the board of directors. Goldfarb will also serve as a member of the audit committee. Since June 2011, Goldfarb has been president. I know it's starting. Goldfarb has been president and chief executive officer at Intrinsic Incorporated, a marketer of direct-to-consumer subscription products and an internet search marketing agency. From 2001 to 2009, he served as president and CEO of Direct Brands, Inc. Under his leadership, the company grew to be the world's largest direct marketer of music, DVDs, and books, with household brands such as Columbia House, BMG Music, Doubleday Book Club, and many, many more. Prior to that, Goldfarb was president and CEO of BOL.com, Bartelsmann's premier online international retailer of books and music. He served as the vice chairman of Value Vision International, a cable TV home shopping and e-commerce company, as well as held various executive levels at NBC. Well, suffice it to say, he's qualified, ladies and gentlemen. More than qualified for the position. Here's where it gets interesting. Stuart is a great addition to our board of directors, stated Vincent K. McMahon, chairman and chief executive officer of the WWE. Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did not the board of directors through Triple H come on national television and tell us that Vince McMahon was relieved of his duties? Okay, Vince McMahon. Now, if you honestly thought that Vince McMahon was out of a job, ladies and gentlemen, first off, you're crazy. But does this not once again spit in the face of what the WWE is trying to make us believe? Why would you have Vince McMahon, the chairman and executive officer of the WWE, come out and announce this if you're trying to make us believe that Triple H is in charge? Somebody in marketing just ain't getting it. The neurons aren't clicking, ladies and gentlemen. He continues. He brings broad marketing and operational experience across a wide range of distribution platforms, including cable television and the internet. His proven international experience and overall business perspective will be very valuable to the WWE board. Goldfarb also sits on the board of directors at Intrinsic and Viacost.com. He graduated from Adelphi University with a Bachelor of Arts degree, followed by a Juris Doctor degree from Hofstra University School of Law. Goldfarb. Come on, you guys. Come on. Do it in the chat room. Come on. Come on. Give me one. Give me one Goldfarb. I am so going to enjoy this. Thank you, WWE, for giving me a whole new month of material. Former WWE superstar Harry Smith claims that WWE has kept certain family possessions from him. Harry Smith, D.H. Smith, whatever he's calling himself this week, wrote on his Facebook page to the WWE. I really shouldn't say that, you know, because I think Harry Smith is really a stand-up guy. And I really do truly believe he got royally shafted by the WWE. Royally shafted. They could have pushed this guy to the moon. Completely to the moon. And they dropped the ball. I'm being asked what his name is. I just said it. Goldfarb. G-O-L-D-F-A-R-B. Goldfarb. Not Goldfarm. Goldfarb. Goldfarb. I digress. Harry Smith writes on his Facebook, "Well, I'm not one to bury any companies or people, but I'm afraid I have no choice here. The WWE, after great difficulty of my begging, finally sent back some, but not all, of my family's possessions from the Hall of Fame fan access. Excuse me. This includes my dad's ring gear, my ring gear, Owen Hart's blue blazer masks, and the singlet and lots of priceless family possessions. They sent a framed picture of my dad smashed, half the other stuff missing, but they threw in a Mae Young framed picture. Well, that was nice. They threw in a picture of Mae Young. That makes it all better, ladies and gentlemen. They can smash, the WWE can smash your order to hell in a handbasket, but they throw in a picture of Mae Young. So it makes it, it's all good. Then he continues, then they have the nerve to call me 2 weeks after firing me, sniffing around asking if they can have it back for their precious Hall of Fame fan access. Even though I am expendable talent, they wouldn't mind just keeping my family's last remaining wrestling stuff. And then he goes on, anyone can feel free to post this on Dirt Sheets, as I feel the world should know about how selfish and inconsiderate the WWE truly is. Well, I don't know about that. They do a lot of good stuff. They do a lot of stuff like this. Like, ladies and gentlemen, nepotism is alive and well in the WWE. Never more so than what was reported on Headlocks to Headlines, according to the PW Insider, the WWE crew member that Kevin Nash shook hands with backstage on Raw last night, or excuse me, 2 nights ago as he was walking down the hallway, was Cal Cole, son of WWE announcer Michael Cole. Nepotism, baby. If it wasn't for nepotism, he'd be pumping gas at the Exxon. Cal Cole. Let's hear it for him, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it from Cal Cole, the newest member of the WWE family. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for getting me the job. Are you kidding me? I would love to know, because I know in my other position, my other line of work that I do besides this, I couldn't hire my sons. Are you kidding me? Well, what? Oh, the WWE is the only place where you can have your dad, your son, your grandson, and all your other kids around, and they all get work. I'm telling you, man, love Connecticut. Nepotism alive and well. We all should be so lucky. Maybe Michael Cole. Remember the illegitimate son angle they did for Vince McMahon's son? Maybe somebody can come out and be the illegitimate child of Michael Cole. Oh, there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that would make for interesting television. Michael Cole. Michael Cole's illegitimate son. I ask you, how great would that be? Matt Hardy is in a lot of trouble. As we get to TNA News, troubled wrestling star Matt Hardy was rushed to an emergency room in North Carolina after falling down in his home, TMZ reported. Sources close to Matt told TMZ the ex-TNA star hadn't been feeling well, unclear as to what caused Matt to fall down. I think it was a case of reality. So far, the extent of his injuries are unknown, but a family member tells us, TMZ, Hardy is expected to be released from the hospital tomorrow. It's been a rough month for Hardy, as TMZ first reported he was arrested on suspicion of DWI last weekend and was subsequently fired from TNA. Oh, stop with that! It was TNA News. Not nudes. News. Some sick people in the chat tonight. But I see now you've taken me completely off my story. Now I'm trying to rant on Matt Hardy, and the chat room is completely. I must be a professional. I must continue. I must move on. It had been reported that Matt Hardy was not drinking when he drove his car into a tree on Saturday night in Moore County, North Carolina. However, the trooper on the scene stated that it appeared Hardy had taken some type of impairing substance. Matt's girlfriend, Reba Sky, then went on to tweet, I can't control anyone. No one can. This is all very heartbreaking. The online harassment makes it worse. Try to understand. She then wrote on her FormSpring account, the only reason he's still alive is because of me. When asked how she felt about recent events, she said, hurt, exasperated, exhausted, furious, tired of being lied to, tired of enablers, just tired. Reba Sky then went on to sign her Lucha Libre contract on a video which has been posted at Headlocks to Headlines. At least she's working. You know, that's great for her. At least she's got a contract. Matt Hardy, how the mighty have fallen here. I'm telling you, this, you know, him and Jeff, just such a tragic story to this. It really is. At least, well, Jeff Hardy announced his TNA return date. He's going back to work, Huntsville, Alabama, this Thursday. So if you're going to be at the event, the TNA event, or the Impact Wrestling event, I got to stop myself. The Impact Wrestling event in Huntsville, Alabama, you will see former TNA World Champion Jeff Hardy. Now, is it the Impact Wrestling World Championship, or are they calling it Impact Wrestling, but it's the TNA World title? Like when it was TNA Wrestling and they had the NWA World Championship. I digress. A correction to the dates that were announced for the events, the TNA events at Sherbrooke and Trois-Rivières. If you're going to be at the TNA event in Sherbrooke, Quebec, that will be, what was it? It's October 8th now, is that what it is? Yeah, it's October 8th. The previously announced date was the 9th. So the TNA event in Sherbrooke, Quebec, will be held in October 8th. The event in Trois-Rivières will be on the 9th in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. La Belle Province. That is where you're going to want to be if you want to see TNA in either one of those two towns. You can go to www.sportsentertainmentevents.tk or prowrestlingevents.webs.com for more info on the shows worldwide. For our friends across the pond, Chris Kelly reporting TNA gets a new television slot in the UK. Are they going to be on the BBC now? That's what I want to see, TNA on the BBC. Next on BBC One, Impact Wrestling. They used to have, there was a globe with the BBC on it, and that's what they used to say. Next on, it was like listening to NPR. Next on BBC One. Actually, you had to have an English accent. I don't think I could do a very good one. Impact Wrestling will now be broadcast Sunday nights in the UK and Ireland after winning record ratings on Challenge Television. Crowley could probably speak more to this. The show, like you need to know who's on it. The show which features, to heck with what they said. The show that features Mickey James. Who cares about Hogan, Sting, Angle, Flair, Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles, and Anderson? Who cares? The TNA Knockouts, Mickey James, and many other huge wrestling stars will now air every Sunday night at an earlier time of 9 p.m. starting this Sunday, August 28th, with a repeat episode shown every Tuesday at 10 p.m. in the current slot. The move to an earlier day in the week is due to a fan feedback and British and Irish fans using social media to request transmission closer to the U.S. airing of Thursday nights. It's also a recognition of the ratings Impact Wrestling has received since starting on Challenge in February in the last 6 months. The program has doubled its audience and become the most watched weekly wrestling show on British television of the last 10 years. Companion show Explosion recently moved to a primetime slot on Challenge and is broadcast every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Impact Wrestling's monthly pay-per-view events will also continue to go out on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. with Explosion moving to midnight on Tuesday on those weeks. Challenge is part of Sky TV and can be found on Sky Channel 125, Freeview Channel 46, and Virgin Media Channel 139. Andy Barton, Impact Wrestling's executive vice president, said, "We're thrilled with the success we've been enjoying in the UK, and we're determined to reward the fans by giving them exactly what they've been asking for, Impact Wrestling, earlier in the week." He quotes, "Sunday nights will never be the same." So you go to church and then you go watch Impact Wrestling. What's wrong with that? Delighted to be working with Impact Wrestling. Excited this time. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, that story's over. I'm excited. I got through the news of the week. I did what I needed to do. All right. I got through all of the news. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have what you've been waiting for, Mickie James will be... Stop with the beeps, okay? Enough of that beeping stuff. When we come back, Mickie James will join us here on the program. And, man, I can't wait. A lot to get to talk about Mickie James. We'll talk about her music and wrestling and much, much more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
It's time.
It's time to stop.
The name calling.
The hurt.
The bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation.
It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Back one more time around again on the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 8 years, I have strived to bring you professional wrestling radio commentary and opinion that is real. For I, like you, am real. And in the world of professional wrestling and in entertainment in general, for that matter, there are very few people that are real. Many profess to be real, and they try to act real, and they hang out with those who they claim that are real people. But the celebrities of today tend to grow beyond what they were before they became celebrities. They stop being real and morph into unreachable, unrealistic personalities that we see far too often on our television screens. In other words, our heroes more often than not fail to remain real. Our guest tonight on the Pro Wrestling Rewind is not one of those personalities. In her 11-plus years of professional wrestling, she has taken us on a journey more real than any of us could have imagined. Through 5 WWE Women's title reigns, 1 WWE Divas title reign, and most recently an Impact Wrestling Knockouts title reign, she has already made history being the first woman to hold all three of those prestigious championships. She has nothing more to prove, some say. Yet throughout her storied career, she continues to prove her relevance to fans and critics time and time again. When the naysayers try to take potshots at our guest, she answers back time and time again, proving that anything is possible. She is an inspiration not only to young women and men everywhere, but to the children who look to their television screens for a hero every week. And now she stands on the precipice of conquering the music industry. And if history has taught us anything, it's that you should never, ever count out our guest from accomplishing anything she sets her mind to. On the Newsmaker line, powered by headlocks2headlines.com, it is my extreme honor and extreme pleasure to welcome country music's next greatest superstar and the 7-time former Women's Divas and Knockouts champion, hardcore country herself, Mickie James. Welcome to the program. Good evening, Mickie James.
Wow, thank you very much.
It's a great honor to have you on the program, and please let me be one of the first to offer my prayers and thoughts to your friends, your family, your fellow Virginians yesterday, who felt the ground shake, a 5.9 magnitude earthquake rumbling through the East Coast. I know it might be hard to take you away from the recording studio to do this interview, but our thoughts and prayers are with you, your friends, your family, and we appreciate you taking time coming on the program.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I know my fans...
And they were okay, so it was good.
Everybody was fine.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. I know my fans, they're going to be ringing my chat off the hook if I don't talk about your wrestling, but really there's something more important that I want to talk to you about here. And this is the new album, the new music album that you're working on right now. You're doing something I've never heard of before. You're offering the fans an opportunity to be part of this album, to kind of get in on the ground, offering different products and CDs, and kind of doing this pre-order. What brought about this idea?
Well, it was something that my management team actually brought to me, and we kind of discussed it a few times, and it's just really a way to not only like involve the fans, but give them opportunities for things that they'll never, like, they would never get in real life. Like, you know, you can pre-order albums all the time, you can buy merchandise, t-shirts, et cetera, and then usually have to wait around till you can possibly get it signed or, you know, whatever. But this was just a way to, like, involve, you know, the fans into my project and make them feel like, you know, they are a part of it because they're kind of on this journey with me. They're the ones that have supported me through my wrestling career for the past 11 years. And now, like, as I've gone on this journey with the music, they've been really, like, supportive and appreciative, and they love the album, the first album, so much. And I've gotten tons of great feedback on that. So we're like, well, why not figure out a way, like, where we could involve them? And so you can become an executive producer. You can get an in-home concert, and you can be on the music video. But also, you know, you can get, like, a hand-painted T-shirt, which that's the toughest one. Like, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to paint these T-shirts. But, yeah, I mean, so it's, like, different stuff that you would never get from any other medium except for this one campaign. And it's probably, you know, the only time we're ever going to do it. So it's pretty exciting because, you know, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from it, and they're really excited about it.
You've also gotten some unwarranted criticism by the internet community saying that this is somehow funding the album. Can you set the record straight on this? This money is not to fund the album, correct?
No, I mean, like, that's, like, here's the thing, is that anybody that knows anything about music knows that it costs way more than $5,000 to make any sort of type of album. Like, that may cover a half a day in the studio. So, like, anyone with, you know, that has any sort of industry sense in that aspect would know that, like, that's not the case. I think that, you know, like, when albums go on sale, I've done it myself. I've pre-ordered a million, you know, a bunch of albums from iTunes and stuff like that. And so this is just a way, you're still doing the same thing, but you're getting all these extra, like, bonus stuff with it, or possibly. And it's honestly, at the end of the day, your choice to whether you want to be involved in the project or, you know, you want to wait until the album's released to get it. So fix one way, half stuff the other.
At
the end of the day, your choice. For those people that have chose to do it, I'm very excited, very happy, because obviously their names will be in the thank yous and executive producer credits, or, you know, they will be invited to, like, an online concert or one in their home, that for the few that have, you know, ventured that far. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, I wish I could afford that.
It's really simple to sit behind, you know, your computer screen when you, like, these are the same people that if they were face-to-face with me, they would, you know, tell me, like, that they thought it was a great idea. But, like, it's really easy to do that and to say negative things about, and face it, like, most, there is nothing that comes without adversary.
Right, of course. I wholeheartedly agree. 25, I'm looking at the webpage right now, and I'm going to make, I'll make the webpage available on our Facebook page and on the SNS Radio Network Facebook page. But real quick, $10 or more, I mean, really, that's the start on this. You get a copy of the CD and the MP3. $25 gets your name and the thank yous, as well as the CD, and then it goes up from there. $50, access to a web concert, plus all the other stuff, of course. The personalized video for $75, the T-shirt. I don't know where you're going to find time to get all that. $200 or more gets you listed as the executive producer. $2,500 gets you. Now, I would love to spend the $2,500. I just bought a house. I'm broke. So I'm one of those people who wishes they could put the $2,500 down.
Yeah, and that's something that would normally cost, you know, close to at least $5 in order to do all that, to get people, you know, to come out to a concert. So it's, like, something that we're really offering at a decent, I feel like, a decent price. And there's actually been people that have signed up for the concert. I thought it was like, oh, it would be really cool if you're doing, like, a Sweet 16 birthday party or bar mitzvah, or, you know, or even just, like, a party at you know, outside, like a big old throwdown. I don't know. Who knows?
You have Mickey James coming and singing for 30 minutes. I can't think of a better way to spend $2,500 than to have you come to the house and sing acoustic for 30 minutes. I mean, that's the
right.
You get the video recorder out. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, how about it?
Now, this campaign, though, it's a limited time only on this. You have to, in order to get in on this, it's only up until September the 2nd. Why is that a pivotal date?
Well, I thought it would be, you know, we could have we had a closeout date, because it's not something that I want to offer forever.
Of course.
You know, and we're hoping to release the album. And so if you have, these are like the diehard fans that really want to be a part of this. And if we close it off at a decent time, especially before the release of the album, hopefully October, November time. But they've already set up this way ahead of time. So I'm sure that we may offer a way to pre-order the album, like, you know, a few weeks before the release, but it won't be in the same, you know, vein that this one is.
Okay. Now, is I got to ask you a question. Is it harder to stay put in a recording studio for hours on end with all the takes and the retakes, or is it easier to wrestle for 60 straight minutes?
Wow. God, I haven't wrestled a 60-minute match since, I think, when I was in OVW. I find that they both run very parallel, except for in wrestling, I tend to run on pure adrenaline, like raw, like emotion and the adrenaline factor, whereas you're very vulnerable when you're on stage, and obviously, like, when you're in the studio, just one song can take you all day, you know, because you have to do retake after retake after retake. I think people just assume that you go in there and you sing the song, you sing it a few times, and that's it, but it's so much more to it than that. So we've been in the studio going on 6 days now, and so we're still rocking on.
Where did this inspiration to sing come from? Was it a natural progression of your ability to speak and perform in front of a crowd, or was it something always you wanted to do but never had the opportunity?
Yeah, wrestling was me and my father's thing. Like, that was like our bond, and I love wrestling, and obviously I've been very, very fortunate to be so successful at it. But when I was a little girl, like, grew up on a horse farm, and that's what I did, but I would walk around the house and record myself, and, like, that's what I wanted to do when I was little girl, like, to sing, but I never had the avenue or the know-how or knew any of the people in that industry to even begin on that road. And then once I fell into wrestling and started going to school for it, I mean, that completely consumed my life, and that's the path that I kind of took. And so after I was with WWE at the time, being with them for a while and on the road, you know, 200-250 days out of the year by myself, like, with just a few friends or, you know, that are already in the industry, and not being with my family and traveling so much, I tended to start writing again and writing songs. And so I think it's just one of those things where I was like, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do, and I've always gone after everything that I've ever wanted to do, and this is no different. Like, it's like at the beginning, I was like, I don't care if nothing comes from this, is that at least I can say I did it, and it was something I always wanted to do, and now I can finally do it, and I have the means to be able to do it. And and that's how this whole journey started. And I went to Nashville with, you know, the songs that I wrote. A few of them ended up on the last album, and then met my old producer, Kent Wells, and kind of just, he's the one who's like, you know, if we're not going to do just like three songs, let's cut a full-on album and see what happens, see where it goes. And It was very exciting, my first time in the studio, and, you know, getting to meet people and write with people. And now, you know, here we are, a year after releasing the first album, and we're already in the studio going for the second one. And I'm really excited, because it's a lot of fun, and it's like a whole new journey in my life, to where it's that whole naysayers of, like, you know, in wrestling I got it a lot, like, you're too short, you're too little, you're, you know, just a small town girl, you're just chasing this wild dream of, like, so many people want to do the same thing that you want to do, and, you know, and I always used all those naysayers against, you know, like, those words to fuel what I wanted to do. And so it's no different here, same people, you know.
It's interesting that you touch on that. I was going to touch on that a little bit later, but now that you brought it up, Mickey, you've built this persona, and I've had the opportunity to watch your career from the WWE. I wasn't able to see much before that, and I've seen it, you know, things where you went on Jenny Jones and these other these other things that you've the other television shows that you've been on, and you have this persona. This is, you know, just a simple country girl who, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, you were picked on as a child. put down as a child. There are so many people, myself included, who can relate to this. We weren't in the in crowd. We didn't conform, yet you somehow built yourself up and broke away from this to build yourself to this incredible persona that inspires millions. At the least, I mean, how did this happen? What was the evolution that brought Mickey James to this simple girl to this personality that inspires millions?
Wow. It's like I have to give a lot of it to right time, right place, and just being very fortunate and very blessed, because I recognize the fact that for every one of me, there's 1,000 people that would love to have gone on that same journey or that want to be a wrestler or that want to make it in whatever industry it is. And I've been very fortunate of meeting the right people, but it didn't come without a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work, obviously.
Mm-hmm, of course.
I think that I used all of that, like, it's tough because, I grew up in a smaller town, but, like, I didn't come from a lot of money. Like, we worked for everything that I've ever, from when I was a kid working on the farm. If I wanted to do horse shows, I had to spend every summer and every weekend at the farm cleaning stalls and washing horses and training every other horse and riding every horse on the farm before I could ride my own. That was just established in me as a child. Like, so I was never afraid of hard work or getting hurt or sacrifices and stuff like that. But kids, and the thing is that kids can be brutal, like, as you're growing up. They can say some harsh things, and I don't know if it's something that's taught within them because of the way they're brought up or socially, or it's just that whole thing of wanting to be accepted so bad. And I just kind of fell into my own way. Like, I really wanted to succeed at everything. I wanted to do really well in school, and I was a nerd. Like, I played the violin. I was in art classes and novel and creative writing classes. But all those things, like, helped, I think, me grow as a person and to be more than, like, just this superficial kind of, like, I took the basics and I just kind of coasted through high school, but I was with a cool team and did all this stuff. Like, it just kind of built my character. And then once you get out of high school, like, you really start to come into your own as far as the things that you want to do and mm-hmm. where you want to go in life. And mm-hmm. I didn't go to college out of high school just because we didn't have the means to do it,
right.
And I obviously didn't get a scholarship, which was what I was hoping for. So I just kind of, that's when I started going on, just kind of creating my own path and fell into wrestling. And then I fell in love with wrestling the moment I walked. I mean, it was that Stone Cold Rock era, and everybody, like, it was just like attitude, and you could just be whoever you wanted to be, and you didn't have to answer to anyone. And it was just amazing for me. And you kind of get lose yourself and become this whole other character, or be everything that you've always wanted to be in front of, hundreds of people at that time. So it's just like, I just fell in love with it and just kind of honed my skills. And I went to acting classes and modeling classes to help, because I knew that's what you needed to be if I wanted to make it. If you shoot, if you're going to shoot for anything, I'd say you always shoot for the stars. Shoot as high as you can go.
Of course, of course.
So then shooting for the WWE at the time, like, I knew I needed all that stuff, like, because I didn't know any of that industry or any of that world, and so I just tried to keep growing and doing different camps and stuff like that, and I traveled everywhere. I would drive 20 hours for $25 and a handshake,
just to get out there, just to get your name out there.
Yeah, and that really does happen, and I think that people aren't aware of that side of it. They think that, like, this person just became a star overnight. No, like, anyone who's ever gone after anything with all their heart, like, they've sacrificed a lot. Like, I've missed birthdays, I missed my nieces being born. I miss a lot, but I'm very grateful because I've also been able to travel the world and see a lot of things that most people would never see in their lifetime, so...
You started in the independent wrestling scene. I'll get back to the music momentarily, but you started in the independent wrestling scene. You actually had a stint in TNA before the WWE. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I was on the very first pay-per-view, which they did, like, a double thing of, like, that. It was the Lingerie Battle Royal, and whoever won a contract, and then so So I did that, and then I didn't hear back from him for a while, and I was working the independent scene. I was actually working with Ring of Honor, where I saw Raven, and I had met Raven before, but then that was the first time that he had actually seen my work, and he wanted to, he's like, oh, man, you're awesome. Like, I need a female, and I really want to bring you in for this thing. And I was like, awesome. Like, I'd love to. And so I was with TNA for about 6 months before I actually got signed by WWE. And then, obviously, I was sent to OVW.
Yep.
And kind of disappeared off the face of the earth for almost 3 years.
But you
kind of get tucked away in that whole thing.
But you come to WWE, you get put in a storyline with Trish Stratus, which must have been an absolute thrill for you.
Oh, it was amazing. And, you know, I was supposed to debut maybe 5 times before that. And I'll give it to you. I'll say this, like, I probably grew the most as an individual and as a woman when I was in OVW. Like, I learned a lot about myself, and there are definitely some growing pains. And because everybody there is usually, you know, at the same thing. Either they are contracted. I mean, it's not this way now because now they have FCW, but at the time, like, you know, all the major stars came out of there, from John Cena to Randy Orton to myself, you know, Beth Phoenix. I was trying to think of, you know, there's tons of stars that obviously went on that same path. But I just learned a lot about myself and really honed and learned how to really work. Like, I knew how to wrestle, and I knew how to get in there and do some really cool moves and kind of tell a story, but it wasn't until I was there that I really honed my craft, and I have to give that to Danny Davis. I mean, he's one of the best people I've ever met, and he really, you know, helped me, not just as a performer, but as an individual.
Mickey, go ahead. I said go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. And so, yeah, and then I was supposed to debut maybe 5 times. A little known fact is that I actually already, CM Punk and I had debuted on Sunday Night Heat, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was his manager. And then, you know, we came back through the curtain, and they hated it. Hunter pulled me aside. He's like, I just don't see the two of you together. You guys are just polar opposites kind of deal. And I was like, wow. So they actually pulled it from the show, and I think they replayed it with, like, a rewind from, you know, whatever. And then we were both sent back down to OVW for another 6 months or so, and then ended up kind of going our separate ways. But it was just funny because, you know, in TNA, he and I were briefly together as well.
Right.
And that whole thing. So that's kind of cool. It's the ironic.
What made the Mickey James character, you have a special distinction, Mickey. You're the only wrestler, the first wrestler, as a matter of fact, and I've been, as a fan of this sport, the better part of going on now 37 years. Well, no, not 37, more like 34. And I've always cheered for the faces, always booed the heels, cheered the faces. Never once have I cheered for a heel. You came on the scene, you had the storyline with Trish Stratus, you turned against Trish Stratus, and I was still cheering for you. I was cheering for you at WrestleMania, and Trish Stratus is Canadian like I am. You have that I think this has to go back to the character and the hard work and the work ethic. You have this ability to transcend and rise above your own character and get people cheering for you. And it wasn't just me. There were thousands of others who were cheering for you in that match with Trish Stratus. And I think a lot of it comes back to your work ethic and how you present your character in the ring and how you present yourself outside of the ring.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do. Like, there's one thing that you can't deny, and that you can't, it's something that you can't teach people, or it's a true, genuine passion and love for what you're doing when you're out there. Like, that storyline was so much fun, and the character, and luckily I was able to be really, I was really allowed to be, like, a lot of myself, but just, like, turned up the volume and, like, kind of dive into this character as much as possible.
I know we're running low on time here, Mickey, and I've got a few more questions I want to ask you, and then I'll let you get back to making music, because that's extremely important. We're going to go ahead, we're going to promote your website and all that good stuff, too. You've gone through so many title wins, so many compelling stories. I just want to run a couple by you real quick and just get your comments on this.
Okay.
A few picks real quick. One of my favorite Jim Ross broadcasting moments of all time was your fourth women's title win over Beth Phoenix, the invincible Beth Phoenix at the time. You came on Raw, defeated Beth Phoenix. I believe that was the Raw where you actually kissed Todd Grisham. Did that fourth win against Beth Phoenix, did that have any significance for you?
Absolutely. Like I had, Beth is an amazing athlete. She's an amazing wrestler, and I've had some of the best matches. Probably one of the best matches I had with her was in Alaska. I believe we were like in Fairbanks or something like that, and we really had great chemistry. It got to the point to where I could tell just by her body movement and vice versa of where we were going and what we were doing next, and we could just go out there and have fun. But it was one of those things that they had built Beth up, which, you know, I was so happy for. They built her up as this, you know, just monster killing machine, but that was still beautiful and glamorous, and she was just so unique and so different, and she was destroying everyone in her path, including me. So, and I remember that was in England when we did that, when the title changed hands and stuff. So it's very rare that, you know, a title will change hands in a separate country, much less a female's title changing. It was just really unique and really exciting. It was just kind of one of those things that nobody saw it coming, and it was out of nowhere. It really, the crowd just was like on their feet because they just not something that they saw coming at all. It was really cool because you could feel the energy and the and I really won. Like, I'd love to feed off the energy of the crowd and the people, because that just kind of, you know, makes you work harder, and it really just changes the way you are, you know, you move out there and what you're doing. It was awesome.
It harkened back to me the Ricky Steamboat Intercontinental title win over Randy Savage, and that sort of, you know, out of nowhere win, and the reaction of the crowd and the announcers was just phenomenal.
Right.
You were involved in a winner-take-all tag team match, you and Kofi Kingston against Beth Phoenix, Santino Marella. You lost the women's title in a tag match. I came on this program livid as all hell, declaring the title held hostage, yelling at the WWE to return that title back to you. Did that bother you to be forced to drop the title in a tag match?
No, you know, it's like it was something different. Like, I'd never seen that happen before. And then, it's the one thing I can say that I've been very fortunate to be able to do a lot of innovative and different stuff that you haven't, that women typically don't do, whether it's a cage match or a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match, or, you know, dropping the women's champion in a tag match. Like, I had never seen that done before or heard of that. And it was definitely different, and people didn't expect it because, you know, Kofi and I at that time were probably, you know, some of the fan favorites, and Santino was kind of looked at as, like, you know, he was comical and he's very entertaining, but as far as like a serious competitor, people weren't, you know, they were more like likely to be entertained by him and not really to fear him. So, it was just kind of one of those things. They just, you know, like, I mean, if you remember that whole thing, like, Beth was the muscle of the whole group, and it was very entertaining, and I think that it was, the people were happy in the sense of, like, they knew that they were going to have an entertaining match, regardless of which way it went.
But absolutely.
They were definitely shocked.
After the fifth women's title reign, you were released, you were let go, you went back to TNA. How did that feel, coming back to TNA, having already gone back, and winning the Knockouts Championship, for that matter?
You know, it was awesome, and it was one of those things I was kind of torn with, whether to go back to TNA or just kind of hang out and just work on my music, and it was like a decision that I kind of came to. I think I was wrestling actually in New York, and we were in front of, you know, like 1,000 people at a small like high school gym, and I was working one of the first independent shows that I'd done, you know, since my release. And I was like, I actually had fun, like the locker room, and there was no pressure, no politics, no anything, just love of wrestling. And I remember like looking around the locker room, and I'm like, you could see the fire in people's eyes of, like, their desire to make it. And I remember, I'm like, I had that fire. I remember being that same person and wanting it so bad. And then you kind of get, like, tainted by, like, you know, the heartbreaks and the, you know, politics and everything else. But it kind of, like, warps your perception of why you even began down that journey and why you gave so much and sacrificed so much to chase a dream in the first place. And it's because of your genuine love for what you do when you go out there and perform it in front of people and the people's reaction. And, you know, I think that we oftentimes, it's a crazy thing, but like when you make it as big as you possibly can. You lose sight of why you went after that in the first place, and that was a very humbling moment for me because I remembered why I was doing what I was doing, and you know, it was definitely one of those things I had to sit back and just think about, and then you know, after I had talked to Dixie a few times, and at first I was like, no, I don't think it's something I'm interested in. You know, I was heartbroken. You know, I was kind of like I didn't know what I wanted to do, and that was when I pretty much called her up, and I was like, all right, I'm ready. Like, I'll do it. Let's do it.
I'm being asked by my co-host here, Chris Kelly, if you intend to use your number one contendership at Bound for Glory.
Well, I'm actually in Huntsville. I'm going using my number one contendership, and you know, usually I would think that, like, you know, if you are the champion and you lose a championship, that you automatically have a rematch clause. But apparently, I didn't.
Yeah, so, what is up with that garbage?
I don't know, but you know, I did win the number one contendership, but I'm actually going after the Knockouts Championship in Huntsville, which is really cool because I'm starting to go on the road more and do TV tapings from separate towns and kind of venture outside of the comfort zone of Universal Studios.
So,
and I'm really excited about it because we did that, you know, one other TV taping that I can remember outside, and it was just really exciting, and there were thousands of people there, and the energy is so much different, you know, from performing in front of a studio audience that, you know, is a, you know, 1,000 people that are excited, but they're usually the same people that come in and that really strongly support TNA.
You were just up in my neck of the woods, Mickey, actually. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were actually just up in my neck of the woods here, up in upstate New York. TNA had events in Plattsburgh and Messina. I wasn't able to get to the event. Would have loved to have gone. You had a Knockouts title match against Maddie Rain.
Yeah, I mean, when was that?
It was
in Rochester and Norwich.
Yeah, this was further north. This was up near the Canadian border. This was up in Messina.
Oh, right. And that's when I was still doing the storyline with Madison Rain.
Yep. This was a little dinky town and a little arena, and right across the arena there was a Price Chopper and a bunch of other. There was a strip mall, and there was a Burger King right beside the arena.
I also did that was like around the flooding and stuff, right?
Yes.
Because I did stuff with the American Red Cross. They were trying to raise money for the flood victims and stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you enjoyed our neck of the woods up here.
I did. You know, I really enjoy upstate New York. It's people, I think, as soon as they hear New York, they think, oh, New York City, and it's definitely New York City is New York City, obviously. But, you know, upstate New York is really beautiful. There's a lot of countryside and stuff, and it reminds me of home. Although I'm not very a huge fan of it anywhere from, you know, like November to February. It's just way too cold.
And there's great places if you love horses up here.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful countryside.
Well, I know we're running out of time here, and I want to get this information out to you. Mickey James here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. If you want to be a part of this tremendous opportunity to get in on the ground floor here right now, so far you've raised about $11,000, $11,661 at last count. You can go to mickeyjames.com. I have the Kickstarter.com website, and I'm going to say it all, but you're probably not going to remember it if you're listening to the program. Kickstarter.com/14446837/Mickey-James-is-making-a-new-record/backers. I'll put it up on the Facebook and the SNS page for you. Mickey, it has been an absolute, this is one of the interviews I had on my bucket list. It has been truly an honor to have you here on the program. It really means a lot.
Well, I have to admit, during that introduction, that speech you were giving, I had chill bumps. That was really nice.
Not bad for only five. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said I did. I honestly did. That was very touching. Thank you.
Well, every word was meant from the heart, and it's all greatly deserved. When the album is finished, Mickey, and the tour dates are set, would you be willing to come back on the Rewind, give us an update?
Absolutely.
Okay, outstanding. Mickey, I'm going to get you to hang on just for 2 seconds, and we'll go ahead and finish this up. Mickey James here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, and I'm telling you, just an absolute class act. It was great to have her here with us. When we come back, I'm going to open the phone lines, and we'll go ahead and get your take on Mickie James' album and, of course, the news of the week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
Well, well, well. How do you follow that? How do you follow an interview with Mickie James? For the first time, ladies and gentlemen, in all the years that I have been doing this program, I'm speechless. She was so gracious, and we didn't have a whole heck of a lot of time. Hopefully next time, we can get more time. But you know that feeling that you get after you open up your presents at Christmas and you're all done opening the presents and you're sitting back. You know that feeling that you get after you've opened your Christmas presents? That's exactly how I feel right now. Thank you again to Mickie James. Chill bumps. The things I will take away from this interview. But be that as it may, we're running a little over. We'll open up the phone lines, 501-588-7957, 501-588-7957. If you'd like to be on the program, comment on the Mickie James interview, the news of the week, Matt Hardy, whatever you'd like to get off your chest. It is open line Wednesday here tonight on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. You can also get a hold of us through the SNS Radio Network on the Skype line. You can Skype directly, SNS Radio Network. And apparently, now I don't know how you do this, but are we able, Crelly, who is right now the unofficial official program observer. The official program observer, of course, is one Mr. JGL Capsexe, but the unofficial official program observer, Mr. Chris Kelly, or Crelly, I shall pose this question to him to run the call through the Google Voice on the chat. Do we still have that capability anymore? See, nobody ever gets me in on these calls, so I have absolutely no idea. But let us go to our busy phones, and of course we have Bronx on the. Is it Bronx? Yeah, let's go to Bronx here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead, Bronx. Bronx, are you there? So, okay, well, let's go to Tony. Tony, you're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to mute my player, and I was hearing...
Oh, that's okay. I thought that was you. Go ahead. Good evening.
Yeah, great interview with Mickie James. But, you know, what I really want to talk about real quick, I actually wrote a column on this about Matt Hardy. You know, the one thing everybody seems to be ignoring is that, and this really ticks me off, is this guy put a lot of people at risk by driving under the influence.
I agree. You'll get no argument from me there. It was an extremely stupid move did Matt Hardy perpetrate this past weekend.
And, I mean, it just goes to show you his state of mind. Afterwards, I mean, who tweets? I was almost in a fatal car accident once with my family. Who tweets about, it was an enlightening experience. It helped me get rid of all my vices. I saw the trees. I saw God. I mean, these guys, I think their brains, the Hardys, their brains are fried. I mean, this is your brain. And then instead of just smashing the egg and frying it, you scramble it. This is your brain on Hardy.
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you. I really can't defend this. I can't defend this by Matt Hardy, not by any stretch, nor would I try. I think Matt Hardy, has put himself in a very difficult position right now. And where we thought that it was Jeff Hardy that had the bulk of the problems, and we thought Matt Hardy was the grounded one, and now it's almost like we can't depend on any of the Hardys anymore.
Well, get him out of wrestling. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, TNA, I got to give kudos, because one criticism I've always had about Dixie Carter is she doesn't like to fire people who deserve it.
Yeah.
But kudos to the TNA. I'll give them props for that, for dumping this guy as soon as it happened, realizing. I mean, I think they're nuts bringing his brother back, but I mean, you got to remember, it's business, and his brother was more popular in WWE. Hence, they think that Jeff will be more popular in TNA. I mean, you know, Jeff could have really hurt Sting in the ring, wrestling impaired, and Matt could have hurt a family coming home from the movies with his car. I mean, they're just, to me, they're both useless. But I know you want to move on, Andy. Thanks for the call, and I'm glad that you got the interview I know you wanted so badly, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great job.
I appreciate it. I was telling the Trey Dog earlier, it was Christmas in August, and I'll explain why that was here momentarily. But thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Take care, dude.
All right, take it easy. Let us continue on our busy phone lines. Caller line 2, you're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Anthony.
Anthony, what's going on, sir?
First off, I want to add in with the compliments for doing a great interview and containing all your fanboy squeals till after the interview was done.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I understand you owe Trey big time for letting you have this interview when it was originally his.
Yeah, let's get something straight here. I want to get something straight to the SNS family. How this all came about this week. I did not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give credit where credit is due here. This was not the power going out and securing this interview. This was Crelly going out, securing the interview. It was originally slated to go to Trey and WNL, and Trey and JJ and the powers that be got together. I had no say in this. Let me make this abundantly clear. I did not go and ask for this interview. And it was a surprise to me when I received a call from the owner of the network asking me what I was going to be doing. And you know, the funny story to this was I thought he was full of crap. When Jeff called me, he said, "Well, we've got Mickey James." I said, "You're full of crap." I said, "If you're going to try to pull my leg for something like that, go tell me that you got John Cena for me on the Rewind. Don't go and tell me that you've got Mickey James." And it took a couple of minutes for him to convince me that they had, in fact, booked Mickey James. But this was WNL's interview. Trey was, once again, the class act that he is. Trey bowed out and gave the interview to us here on the Rewind. And I've already had the opportunity to speak to Trey. And him and Jay. Well, Trey, I got to give you credit, too, because you could have just as easily, you know, I'd said, no, I want the interview, and you didn't. You were nice enough to give it to me, so I'm going to give credit where credit is due. JJ wanted to give it to me, and it all fell into place, and I cannot thank Trey and JJ and Crelly and Brass Eye, everybody else who helped to make this interview possible. In the same way, in the same manner that HBK and Kevin Nash being on Wrestling News Live was one of Trey's great accomplishments. Having Mickey James on this program was one of the interviews that I wanted to get. So that was the chain of events. This was nothing I did. This was entirely on the network. You can all thank the network for getting this interview. I was just glad that I was able to do an adequate enough job to bring it home. But go ahead.
If you want to make it up to Trey, just somehow get him an interview with Velvet Sky, and I think he'll be your best friend forever.
I think if we can go to TNA and get Trey Velvet Sky on Wrestling News Live, I think that would be a more than adequate compensation for giving up a Mickey James interview, I would dare say. But anything else on your mind, sir?
I just want to say that Matt Hardy, oh, my God, he has – everyone says, oh, he's like the guy he can – the Hardy that should be the one elevated, not Jeff Hardy. And what does he do? He does more effed up stuff than his brother. And yet they're keeping Jeff Hardy still in the company.
I know. I really would like to get into the heads of TNA creative on this. And really, I mean, I'm all for giving guys a second chance, but isn't this going on like fourth chance
like
or fifth
or
chance?
Fifth.
Something like that. At what point do you have to go and really, you know, wash your hands of it and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we just can't take the chance that, we can't take the chance that you're going to come to ringside and not be fit to wrestle. So I don't know. The future we'll see. And maybe, you know, maybe Dixie Carter, maybe TNA is just a little too forgiving.
Yeah, I bet if Jeff Hardy is declared guilty, they'll just say, oh, we're just going to suspend you for a while. When you're out, we'll let you back in. Knowing them.
I don't know. It's such a tragedy. I always thought, I mean, it just when it became apparent that Jeff was the it was apparent that when Jeff was, you know, had problems, I always thought that, you know, Matt was the rock that kind of held his family together. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, not that he would care what I think, but very disappointing to me to see Matt Hardy falling into the with the same demons of his brother. But I digress.
Yeah, I think it's been ever since he had that confrontation with the Tough Enough guys during the WrestleMania weekend and that video of him tasing his girlfriend that people are like going, what the hell is this idiot? That's when everyone's opinion about Matt Hardy that we had from YouTube and all that went.
Well,
just went down.
He's out of work, but his girlfriend's got a job now. His girlfriend's got a job with Lucha Libre USA, so you know there'll still be some fundage coming in.
He's going to be her sugar daddy.
Exactly. That's his sugar mama right there. So, you know, let him get himself cleaned up and my prayers are with him. I hope he can turn something around on this and make some good on it. But I digress. Anything else before I let you go, sir?
Not really. Just great interview and take care of the rest of the show.
If this interview, I will go on record right now. If this interview does not get Female Interview of the Year, I riot. I've never, you know, the Audio Wrestling Awards, the Audio Wrestling Radio Awards, it's, you know, they always say it's nice to be nominated. Wrestling News Live has taken a lot of these awards, and rightfully and deservedly so. This year, I've never once said I wanted one of these awards. I have never once campaigned for one, never once made it an issue. But this year, if the Pro Wrestling Rewind does not win for Female Interview of the Year, I riot.
You'll be like, who's the little Jimmy in this conspiracy?
Yeah, it'll be little Jimmy that causes me to lose it. But anyway, thank you very much. It's great to talk to you. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye.
Continuing on to our busy phones, the Pope is calling in. Good evening, Pope. Did you pray? Were you praying for this interview?
Maybe, maybe not.
Oh, come on. You can tell us. You went. I know you've got a direct connection to the Almighty. You went and talked to the Almighty. You put your hands together. Dear God in heaven, who I love so much, please let the power get the interview with Mickey James. That's okay. You can admit it. The truth will set you free.
Well, I admit I did help you out. I used my connection and got you the interview.
Well, I appreciate it. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Matt Shemalamadina and Quito Hardy. That is what's on my mind.
Please elaborate.
This guy, my God, I just don't know where to start with the Hardys. All this time I've been thinking Jeff is the fuck up. Matt is the one that's fucking up. You don't see I'm sorry to curse
you're gonna,
on the program.
You're
going to
get me. You are so, you know what? One of these days either Jim Levin or Brian Levin or somebody is going to get a copy of this tape. Derry Laux over at 90. Somebody's going to get a copy of this tape, and I'm not going to be allowed back on the air, and it's going to be your fault.
But I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I continue.
You don't see Jeff going around doing things like this, getting into car wrecks, passing out, tweeting some random guy's phone number because he thinks he's coming off an all-night crack binge or whatever the fuck Matt Hardy is taking. But it's just not right. Something needs to be done about Matt Hardy. Something needs to be done about both of them. They need to go to rehab. They need to stop kidding themselves before they put someone at risk. I don't feel bad. I really feel bad for them, but mainly I feel bad for Rebby Scott because she has to put up with Matt's stupid shit all day. Then I feel bad for Jeff Hardy's wife. And in the end, I really feel bad for Jeff Hardy's daughter, who I'm not even sure is a year old. But she's probably going to have to grow up in his shadow knowing that her father was a complete screw-up and her uncle was a complete screw-up. I'll give TNA their little props right now because they took the right thing and they fired Matt Hardy.
I agree.
They did the right thing. I hate TNA, but I'm going to give them props because they did the right thing. Matt did not need to be in that company after this. He needed to be fired and on his ass.
Well, let me ask you this. Go back to certain circumstances that happened with Kurt Angle. You know, Kurt Angle wasn't fired with some of his transgressions. Is this just a case of where TNA is starting to realize that if they're going to start, you know, they're not a publicly traded company, but if they're going to start, if they want to start getting in the big time now and they want to start competing against the big boys, that they're going to have to do some things that are not going to be popular, and that is going to be to take corrective action against the talent when they do extremely stupid things like Matt Hardy did this past weekend.
Exactly. TNA finally decided that this was the straw that broke the camel's back on them getting their bad publicity. Matt Hardy just happened to be the person that's the first guinea pig, and he got fired. I'm sure the next time Kurt Angle gets in some kind of trouble, he's going to get fired next. And I'm sure Jeff Hardy's going to do something stupid once he returns and get his ass fired. But TNA is finally doing the right thing. They're firing these guys who are a detriment to the company, who are a detriment to themselves, and a detriment to the other superstars. These guys are potentially dangerous. And they're going to wind up killing themselves, or worse, they're going to wind up killing someone else, an innocent bystander, mm-hmm. or someone who just happens to be coming home
yep.
the night that Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy, they're going to get fucked up and drive a car and hit somebody and kill them.
It's interesting. Mace just said in the chat room, he said, Kurt isn't a repetitive screw-up or as ignorant as Matt Hardy. Your thoughts?
He's not. But in honesty, he's not. Kurt Angle might have gotten in trouble a few times for doing things, but he's not done anything to the level that Matt Hardy or Jeff Hardy, for that matter, have done. Matt Hardy has been involved in 3 incidents, and I believe the past 72 hours. He's been involved in the car wreck, hitting the tree. He's been involved in tweeting. I don't know if you heard about that, but he tweeted a random guy's phone number today as his own phone number.
Yeah, what was the point of that? Explain that one to me. He went around, he goes and he says, I need you to call, you know, call me at this number. Now, you got to understand, when you're a public figure, you know, the average fan's going to think that's your number. And then guess what? You're going to get literally millions and millions of calls on that number asking for Matt Hardy. So you're already setting yourself up there. That, I don't want to say that was a dumb thing to do. It was certainly an ignorant thing to do.
And it wasn't even his phone number. It was some other guy in Carolina's number. I don't know if he was doing it just to mess with us, or he was just doing it because he was coming off of a crack binge and didn't know what he was doing, or he was just doing it to see, get someone get this guy. Apparently, it might be an enemy or something to get them messed with or not, but I'm not sure about that. And then, I don't know if you heard about this, today, He fell at a serious fall in his house, and he's apparently in the hospital now.
Well, is it an attempt by Matt Hardy? I mean, is Matt Hardy really that screwed up, or is it an attempt to garner some attention?
I don't know. He might be trying to get attention. He might be just finally had enough of the drugs. He might be trying to kill himself. Who knows? But whatever he's doing, him and his brother need to realize they need help.
It's, you know, we just came off a great interview with Mickey James, and we're talking about people that are real and how they inspire millions. And here's the case of two guys who we thought were real and have shown to be perhaps a little too real in that, you know, we've seen a side of them, a darker side of them, you know, that none of us really ever really wanted to see. And this is the real aspect of professional wrestling when it comes to people like a Jeff Hardy and a Matt Hardy. When the lives start getting public, these are the kind of things I don't want my kids to hear about or see. This is the last thing I want my 10-year-old or my 12-year-old reading about on the internet. And these wrestlers, you know, yes, I know they have families and I know they have private lives and personal lives, but I'm sorry, when you're living your life on the internet, you've got to hold yourself up to a higher standard. You just have to.
And I can truly understand now why you wouldn't, why you won't. I don't know if you do or not, but I'm sorry, I completely understand it now that you wouldn't let your kids watch Jeff Hardy compete or Matt Hardy compete, because these are not the people that the children need to be looking up to.
That's right. That's right. I can't. Go ahead.
Because they are going to be professional wrestlers, and they're going to be inspiring to people. They're going to be fans of the kids. They know the kids are going to like them. They need to live their lives the right way, inside the ring and outside of the ring. I think we can tell that Jeff
Pope, are you still there? Did we lose the Pope?
Detrimental to what they're doing in the ring. They're not being the inspiration or the influence that the children need right now.
You're absolutely right. And it's not just these two guys. You know, it's other wrestlers that take it a bit too far. And when those lives start becoming public, that's when you got a problem. Hey, you know, Randy Orton wants to go and smoke a joint in the back of the arena at WrestleMania. You know, hey, so long as you're doing it in a corner and not on the air and nobody finds out about it, I really don't care. But if you get found out and it goes public and you get arrested, you set yourself up for stuff like this. So the way around it is, A, don't get caught, or B, just don't do it. This is where I really have a problem with this, as conservative as I am, because I am fiscally conservative. I am a social liberal, but still I have children that I have to protect, and the last thing I want to see is a situation where I have to go and explain to my 10-year-old why his hero, why Jeff Hardy, can barely put two moves together in a match because he was so wasted coming to the arena. It's ridiculous stuff like that. You know, that just drives me bonkers. But Pope, do you have a prayer for us tonight, sir? Pope, are you still there? Did we lose the Pope?
Lord, we come to you now and we ask you to be the.
We ask you to be the what? Oh, Pope. I think. God is intervening in your call, I think, Pope. God didn't like that prayer. So God cut you off the Skype line. Oh my goodness. Lines are open. Lines are open on the Skype line. 501-588-79. Oh, 5-7. My goodness. This has just been an interesting night here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. 501-588-7957 if you'd like to be on the program. It's been a tremendous night. This, like I said, an interview. I cannot thank the folks at SNS enough. for going ahead and putting this together. And you know that this is not an interview program. I generally, when we do interviews, it's something very special. It was great to see so many people in the chat room tonight. You all wanted to hear the Crelly's been talking about the new liner. It's not finished, Crelly. I have the audio, but it's not finished. I'll just do a quick poll in the chat. Would you like to hear the new Mickey James PWR liner? A quick yes or no, those that want to hear it. If you want to hear it, I will play it. I'll give it a couple of seconds. I've got one definitely. Okay, so far so good. If I get enough people, I'll go ahead and I'll play it. Now keep in mind, we have not gone and put any music behind this. But I thought once again, Mickey James is such a class act. For her to take the time to give us this liner. Yeah, it is unfinished. I have not put any audio behind it. So this is just the raw, uncut liner, and I hope to have it going forward for the next week. So if you're ready, and we wouldn't normally do this during the show, but it's getting towards the end of the program, so we'll have a little fun. This is the liner that Mickey James was kind enough to cut for me for the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey everyone, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to my number one fan and the sexiest man of radio, The Power, Andy Knoll, right here on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I love my life. I absolutely love my life. And Crelly, that was all thanks to Crelly and JJ and Trey. And be sure, this lot to do here on the network this week. Of course, we have Unplugged. You want to be catching Unplugged this Friday? No, that's actually, I told Crelly, that is my new ringtone on my iPhone now. I'm gonna get the audio. And actually, if somebody out there, I think JJ has it. If JJ has Hardcore Country, I think I'm going to throw Hardcore Country behind that. I think that would be cool. But anyway, be that as it may. And Brass Eye was able to fix the W&L liner. That's fine. Real quick, Brass Eye, while you are in the chat room, sir, and listening to the program, just be advised that I also emailed that same information to Trey. He had asked for it. So with that, we're not taking any more. Well, what time is it now? We're getting close to the end of the program. So let's talk about some of the things that are going to be happening I've got Mickey James on the brain now. Things that are going to be happening on the network this week. Of course, we have Unplugged this Friday. What would fans do? You don't want to forget that. Do we have a Sunday Night Showdown this weekend? And I will pose that question to the official program observer, one Mr. JJ, all caps, sexy, or to one Mr. Mark the Shark DiCarlo. Do we have a program this weekend? I've got to promote it. You got to give me a yes or a no on this. I'm getting a no. So I take it we do not have a Sunday Night Showdown this weekend. Not this weekend, no. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to go ahead, you're going to catch the archive of this program, all the other programs. If you haven't, oh my goodness, before I forget, the Elite Force podcast is this Sunday. How in the hell could I have forgotten that? Don't forget to catch the Elite Force podcast this Sunday. You can download that, Beyond the Bell. Which, by the way, Brass Eye is going to try to get me a commercial. I don't have a commercial for you guys. What would fans do? Beyond the Bell? It's a great network to be on, ladies and gentlemen, and it's for reasons like this. It is for interviews like this, Mickey James. And you know what? I haven't even given out any shout-outs, any props yet to the Roddy Piper interview. That's an, you know what? And that's one, too. That is another interview that I would have loved to have done was be Roddy Piper. And kudos to Wrestling News Live for, thank you, Brass Eye. Kudos to Wrestling News Live for that interview was tremendous. If you haven't listened to it, you need to go back. You need to download the archive. Go to iTunes and get it. because you're gonna, I'm telling you, your ears will be happy that you listened to it. You can catch us on iTunes. You can catch us on Facebook. The archive up shortly, immediately after this program. So that's pretty much it for us, boys and girls. Unless do we have to? I'd like to take one more call. I'll open it up for a couple seconds. 501-588-7957. 501-588-7957. If you'd like to be on the program, just give everybody an opportunity just to get in. I really can't say enough about this interview. I apologize. I know I'm going kind of long here on this, but it really meant a lot to me to have this interview, and there's still more to come. We are not done yet. Plenty of 2011 left, and plenty of other interviews. I don't know how we're going to top this, to be perfectly honest with you. I really don't know. I really don't know where or how we are, where we're going to top this. What is what is next for us now? What are we going to do now? I digress. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I am out of here as always. Wait a second. Now what is going on now? Take a cold shower. I don't know about taking the cold shower. Pope's birthday's in 2 weeks too. I don't know about the cold shower part. Maybe what I need to do is just get down on my knees and thank the gods of internet wrestling radio for the blessings that have been bestowed upon the program here. But like I said, if there is anything at all, Trey, JJ, anything that I can do for you guys, I just want to let you know that I do, that I owe you one. And I cannot express enough how much this interview, this opportunity to bring this interview to you meant to me. So I think I have, I think I've spouted off enough, and I think I need to get out of here. So with that being, with that being said, I'm going to get myself out of here and call it a night. So let us trudge along, shall we? It is the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Remember, boys and girls, please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, and if the higher power lets me, I will be back to play with y'all next week. I don't know how I'm going to top this. I'll try. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Oh, there's never anything on this time of night.
Again, est-ce qu'il fallait une guerre?
Oh, you didn't know? It's me. It's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Roto Animal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang.
I am the genius of the glory and renown, Lanny Poppins.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya. Turn it up, turn it up.
The world is listening.